to it before I move on. The basic idea of that ongoing work, which I'm doing with Justin Curry and Nathan Chow here at PI, is to ask the question of how a massive self-interacting graviton, which might be able to solve the cosmological constant problem, affect the development of large-scale structure in cosmology. And we're approaching that by doing an in-body cosmological simulation. And we have some preliminary results, but we decided we're not quite ready to present them. So should be looking for those results to come soon to an archive near you. But just to move on to what I am going to talk about, so I'm switching gears from large-scale structure to the CMB, which has two, we've learned a lot from the CMB already, but there's two new frontiers of CMB research that are just opening, as we've heard about in the plenary session. And those are that's the B-mode polarization of the CMB, which is being measured even now by BICEP, as we heard about. And the high L region of the CMB, the small angular scales region, which is also being well measured. And both of these are being searched for good theoretical reasons. But one theoretical thing to look for in both of these new probes is cosmic strings. And this is something that gets a little bit of short shrift sometimes. And so my purpose here is to advertise this as something else to think about in the next year and a half. So basically, cosmic strings can be a very copious source of B-mode polarization in the CMB. And the same kind of cosmic strings that can make this B-mode polarization at a level that's very observable by the currently planned and currently operating experiments would also make characteristic signatures in the CMB temperature the CMB temperature anisotropy that will be observable very soon. So I'm talking about these cosmic strings. Just to give to start at the beginning, a cosmic string is a topological defect, a remnant of a very early universe phase transition. And basically, any time you have a phase transition in the early universe that, whenever it spontaneously breaks, has a U1 symmetry associated with it, that in causally disconnected regions, different choices will be made by the field that goes through the phase transition, and you'll be left with a remnant, a line in space of something like the old phase, where with a very high energy density, because it's a remnant or a leftover from that very early epoch that lives on through all stages of the cosmology. So these are high energy, may make some of you think of string theory, and indeed, it's sort of an accident that cosmic strings and string theory share the word strings, but it turns out that the current sort of renaissance, if you will, of interest in cosmic strings has come from string theory, because it was realized a few years ago that in one of the many, but perhaps one of the better studied models of inflation in string theory is D-brain, anti-D-brain inflation. And a generic feature of those kinds of models is that whenever the two brains that cause inflation collide, that the collision process produces cosmic strings. And these cosmic strings are just the kind that are not ruled out by experiments, but could soon be observable. They also could be unobservably small, light, but we're going to focus on the observable end for now, because that's where the interesting signatures come from. But if you don't like string theory, but you like supersymmetry, don't fret, because in many particle physics models of inflation that make no direct missions reference to string theory, you can also get cosmic strings being formed if you have a hybrid inflationary, a hybrid inflation model. Just as so long as at the end of hybrid inflation, you have that same symmetry breaking pattern that I described before. So there's basically, if you're going to know one number for cosmic strings, the one number you need to know is their tension. And that's usually parameterized in the dimensionless combination g mu, where g is Newton's constant, and mu is the cosmic string tension. And just to give you a sense of the scale of these things, that if you had the symmetry breaking happening at the gut scale, or the grand unified theory transition, then the dimensionless tension for the strings would be 10 to the minus 6, about. And in CGS units, which are probably more familiar, that would be 10 to the 21 grams per centimeter. So that is a very, very large tension, not the sort of thing that you're going to find in a kitchen string. You can laugh. So Now, naively, so strings, I told you, are lines in space, linear energy densities. And so naively, this would be a problem, because that means that strings should dilute more slowly than any other form of matter, except for a cosmological constant. That is, like curvature, their energy density falls off like 1 over the scale factor squared. However, this is not a problem for strings, because they can efficiently lose energy through the formation of loops or other energy loss mechanisms, such that, in fact, the cosmological energy density in strings does not fall off like 1 over a squared, but stays at a steady constant that's proportional to that cosmic string tension in every cosmological epoch. Okay, so I mentioned in passing that cosmic strings are limited by data. To put a concrete number on that, I can refer to my own work from three years ago, where using the WMAP year one results, which I guess don't get shown very much anymore, and then the Sloan Digital Slice Survey large-scale structure data, we found that the cosmic strings could produce about 10% of the primordial anisotropy without messing up the fit to the data. Now, that 10% number has stuck around with better data. And in fact, recently, Neil Bevis, Mark Hinmarsh, and others have done a different model for their cosmic string network. And they find that in their model, the cosmic string TT power spectrum looks like this orangey red line here. And the interesting thing about this spectrum for cosmic strings is that their peak is at relatively low L. And what that means in practice is that if you take this string spectrum and you put about 10% of the power in that spectrum, and then you take the inflationary power spectrum for a purely Harrison-Zeldovich spectrum and take out the tilt of the spectral index, and so have a 6-parameter fit with strings plus Harrison-Zeldovich plus lambda CDM, then you actually get a better fit to the WMAP 3 results than you do with the tilt in the spectral index. Now, this is interesting. So this is different from what we found, because the Hinmarsh and Bevis model has this lower peak, whereas we found a higher peak. And that's a technicality that it's not, obviously, cosmic strings haven't been measured yet, so we're not sure which of these is right. But it's very interesting that having this low peak permits this NS equals 1 power spectrum, because for many reasons. One is that you could take this as a little bit of a hint that there might be cosmic strings in the universe, depending on your attitude towards these things. The other thing is that there's lots of inflationary models that want to put your spectral tilt close to 1. And people have been sort of writing these off in the last few years. But before we completely finish writing that obituary for these NS equals 1 inflationary models, using cosmic strings to make that effective tilt is another way of saving or prolonging the life of these inflationary models for a bit longer. So just to move on to the regime of hints that aren't really statistically, that was a real statistical hint. This is an actual improvement to the WMAP data fit. But for a hint that's not statistically rigorous, you can if you like to squint your eyes at data and look for anomalies, the one thing that people have been talking about for a while is this apparent excess of power in the CMB at the high L, or at small angular scales. Now, this is exactly the angular scale on which you expect clusters of galaxies to be causing the Sunyaev-Zeldovich effect, or for the Sunyaev-Zeldovich effect to be kicking in and causing extra CMB power. So you might think, oh, a little excess, big deal, is probably just SZ. However, the SZ effect has been pretty well constrained by other experiments, the amount of clustering on that scale. And it's pretty hard to explain this amount of excess if it holds up using just SZ. And so, intrigued by this, but not taking ourselves too seriously, my collaborators and I just went ahead and took that cosmic string power spectrum and, yes? Right. Oh yeah, you'll see a frequency dependence, yeah, but just the sort of the, I wasn't getting to do. No, the amplitude's inconsistent with SZ, not the frequency dependence. They're too big to be explained by SC in the standard case, given the value of S sigma 8 measured by other means. All right, we can discuss later. I'm not making a really strong statistical case for this or anything like that. Just this is supposed to be a hint, not any kind of a proof. But the interesting hint is that cosmic strings, if they're around, do give you exactly the sort of boost of power on those scales of the rough amplitude you need. Now, the CBI experiment is actually doing the actual statistical analysis, including this effect, even now. And so you can read their paper when it comes out to find out how significant this is, taking both SZ and strings together at the same time. But it's an interesting fact that this 10% number gives you maybe some help with this high L excess of power. And so just the last thing I'm going to tell you about is this B-mode polarization. And so we're used to thinking about B-modes coming from two sources, one primordial and one derived. The primordial source is, of course, gravity waves, which I've plotted in this green curve here. And then the derived source is the lensing of E-mode polarization into B-mode polarization by large-scale structure. And so we all know that it would be great and very soon to be measured if the tensor to scalar ratio is about 10%. But I just want to point out that this blue line here is what we'd expect for that same 10% of strings that we may have hints for already. Now, if they're around in the universe whenever last scattering happens, then the B-mode polarization that would be sourced by those strings would actually be much bigger. It would be the single biggest source of B-mode polarization on the sky. And you might wonder, how can you take a 10% contribution and get a bigger source of B-mode polarization than everything else? And basically, this puzzled me at first as well. But basically, what's happening here physically is that cosmic strings, if they're around, are intrinsically linear objects. They're not scalars. They're not tensors. They have an intrinsic vector perturbation associated with them. And even though vector perturbations decay away in GR, the cosmic strings are there at last scattering, actively sourcing vector mode perturbations. And vector mode perturbations are probably the most efficient way, or if you can make them, are a very efficient way of making this curl mode or B-mode polarization. So that's why a small component of cosmic strings can make a significant B-mode polarization. And so basically, B-mode experiments can be broken roughly into two classes. One is the low L type experiments. And these are the experiments that are focused just on the part of the L range where you think the only thing around is the gravity wave signal. And so because of that, in our paper on this, we wrote down a nice little translation formula so that you can take your prediction for the tensor to scalar ratio and for your experiment or your favorite experiment, plug it into this formula with some parameters that I'm not going to explain here. And you find out what kind of g mu that same experiment can see. And so that's one region where experiments are looking. And this is, by the way, the region where Planck will be most sensitive. And then there's also the high L region, where you can't really expect to see gravity waves, because gravity waves, even if the tensor to scalar ratio is like a half, which is already ruled out, the gravity wave spectrum at high L is going to be swamped by this lensing signal. But this is still the experiments that are currently planned and funded will measure this. And if cosmic strings are around, then they will be very well measured by those experiments. And so just for one last slide, I can just show you a scenario that's plausible, where you have a vanishingly small tensor to scalar ratio, and so very little gravity waves. But you still have cosmic strings around at this level of just 3%, so just took down from 10%, which is sort of what's allowed in the data, and just one-third of that, which is a smaller tension. And for those kind of cosmic strings, you could get something that looks sort of like a gravity wave spectrum at low L. And you get this systematic excess at high L of this is a logarithmic scale, so this is about double the power at high L that you would expect from your prediction. So if you saw something like this, of course, no one would think this was cosmic strings at first. You'd think that you had a bad estimate for lensing and a poorly measured gravity waves at low L. So this is the sort of thing that you're actually going to have not just a mere discovery, but actual spectral information about. But just this, I'm just pointing this out to you so that if in, 3 years from now you hear about a small tensor to scalar ratio plus a strange unexplained excess in V-mode power at high L, that it may not be that. So there's lots of experiments, as I said, that are measuring this. I've just listed some here. All of these are under active development. There's also a bunch of experiments that are measuring the high L, and these are all also actively being developed. Some of these are actually already taking data, BICEP, and Quad is already done taking data. And so just to sum up, my take-home message, if you slept through the talk and want to know what my talk was all about, the take-home message is don't forget about cosmic strings. Now, everybody, cosmic strings are about as generic in the space of models people consider for inflation as a large gravity wave signal. But gravity waves get millions of dollars, and cosmic strings generally get ignored. Now, this is understandable because gravity waves are a direct probe of inflation, whereas cosmic strings are sort of a nuisance parameter, kind of some like an unsightly defect that is hanging around. However, if cosmic strings are around, they're actually a much better and much more interesting have much more interesting phenomenology than gravity waves. The gravity waves, you get one number, you're done. You found out the scale of inflation, somebody gets a Nobel Prize, and you're finished. But with cosmic strings, if they're around, you have lots of things you can measure. You can learn a lot about primordial physics. And so I just want people to get a little bit excited about the prospect of finding cosmic strings. Because if we do, then we're going to learn a heck of a lot. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Could you describe the pattern in the sky of the B-mode polarization due to a cosmic string that's long and running across the sky?
Could I describe it? Well, I mean, it would show up. I mean,
would it look like?
Well, I mean, you would see it. If you started to look on the map, you probably could find it localized because it is sourced by strings that are actually there. In these first experiments, the angular resolution I think isn't quite sufficient. But if you had a very high resolution polarizer experiment, you could see where it's coming from. Yeah.
So you'll be able to characterize this as not absolutely not due to gravitational waves, even with a peculiar power spectrum.
I think so. I believe that. Though we haven't calculated, but I think you can.
So we should be able to see these things in the optical if there are enough out to a redshift of approximately one in a 2 pi survey. So what we would need from you folks is an estimate of the number density in 3-space times a mean stress.
Right. So I think that people have actually looked at that. There's an estimate made for the Goods survey recently. That you could probably repurpose very easily for exactly that, the optical lensing characteristics.
It's very different signature than what one would get statistically in one of these CMB experiments because there's a very characteristic ladder type of arrangement you see where galaxies are flipped.
Right, exactly.
It's extremely difficult to arrange for that to happen accidentally.
Exactly. And by the time the sort of optical surveys you're talking about are online, we'll know from other observations whether there's something there or not at an interesting level. So it'll be very interesting. So you'll know whether or not to take the trouble of making the data pipeline by the time LSST is ready anyway.
Let's move on to the next talk.